One of these days I'm going to get the hang of this. Welcome back to Coach Class with me, Dom Birch. This is the podcast where I get to speak to inspirational leaders and coaches from across the globe. And I'm delighted this week to be joined by Catherine Patterson. Now, Catherine is the Customer and E-commerce Director at Hobbycraft. Oh, a place I've been to many times with a wife. We'll maybe talk a bit about Hobbycraft, but also worked for Asda, worked for B&Q, and started out life, I think, at Mars, which is one of those fascinating companies that I'm sure Catherine can tell us more about. Catherine, welcome to Coach Class.
Thank you very much. Great to catch up.
Isn't it great? Do you know what? I'm just using this podcast as a really, really unsubtle way of catching up with all the people that I like from my previous career. It's been fascinating. It's been great. So thank you for giving up the time and for dashing back from the shop. So tell us a little bit before we get going. Just give us your sort of version of your CV, your potted history. What brings you to Hobbycraft? What was your journey there?
So originally from the Northeast, proud of Northumberland, I studied at Glasgow University. I did an economics and management degree, went to study English, changed my mind and came out with that, which is a bit of a story of my career, really, because, you know, I evolved as I went, really. My first role was at Mars, and I joined as a graduate trainee, which was absolutely fantastic. It was based out of their Waltham on the World's office, which was where Pedigree Pet Foods was, Pedigree Master Foods. And I think what's amazing about the Mars graduate scheme is you do a rotation over 2 years into different functions to enable you to see what each area has on offer and where you might like to focus. And the thing that's brilliant about it is they are really stretching, challenging jobs. So you really get thrown in. But what they do have is really strong management and leadership, and you're assigned a mentor. So you're almost given this really challenging start to your career, but with a big, huge safety net around it. So you can take risks, you can take on challenges. And do you know what? You look back and you think, I can't believe I did that. But it was a brilliant, brilliant start to my career. And then I spent 9 years in total at Mars, and I did a number of different jobs, mostly in marketing and sales, once I got through the graduate scheme. I then moved to Asda, which is obviously where we met, and I went to work with Angela, who was also from Mars at the time. And again, I loved it. I mean, I joined Asda, and I joined as the format, heading up the format development team, and I then moved on to be the director of Asda Online, and then spent the rest of my 9 years again at Asda in the marketing and sales function. And then during that time, I did lots of different roles, you know, in-store marketing, local marketing, looked after the advertising, press. We did some brilliant things over the years. So really, really enjoyed that. I then moved to B&Q, another fantastic brand with a great, you know, great colleagues, great brand. But I was only there for 2 years because I was tempted away by Hobbycraft. And that was 8.5 years ago. So I'm now at Hobbycraft and I absolutely love it. I am the customer director, as you've said. So I look after the online business and I look after marketing and brands. It is a fantastic business with such creative colleagues. It's a much loved brand. It has so much potential and it's so entrepreneurial. And it's quite interesting because if I reflect back on my career, I think the reason I've chosen to work in the businesses that I have, it's because I love the brands. I can connect with the customers and the colleagues, but they are all quite entrepreneurial in their approach, particularly Hobbycraft and Asda, I would say. And those are the two that I've absolutely loved the most. I think retail is now in my blood. I think once I'd left Mars, there was definitely no going back. So yeah, I'm an avid retailer and I'm absolutely loving what I do at Hobbycraft.
It's amazing, isn't it? It is in your blood. I remember when I left Asda and I thought, God, am I typecast now? Am I like the PR person that can only work for supermarkets? And somebody said, well, actually, you're not a PR person. You're a retailer that can do PR. And I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? There's something you're right about customers and just that sort of entrepreneurial element that really gets under your skin. I just want to go back a little bit then, because I think culture is something that's quite, it's one of those concepts that's quite hard for people sometimes to put their arms around. But I kind of think of it as being, it's how things are done around here. So it's how people behave, it's how people speak, it's how decisions are made, it's whether or not, you know, those are things that are made with you in the room or whether they're made and given to you. What's your memory, I guess, of the Mars culture, and how have you seen that? Has there been a thread through the companies you've worked in that have kind of taken elements of that and that they're, you know, and hence why they've been entrepreneurial or successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think culture is really important to me too. And I think if I think about Mars in the first instance, when you join Mars, you are part of this Mars family, which is, you know, all colleagues, one team, we would have said years later at Asda. And I think there's a definite view that, you know, everybody working together will reach a bigger goal. And therefore, anybody who joins the team, you know, you can learn from. So whether you were teaching your manager something or whether you were learning off somebody else, that sort of learning environment was always very evident. The second part of it is this whole dynamic have a go culture, which is really important to me. And I think Mars set that up brilliantly. So yes, you went in as a graduate trainee, but you weren't there to train for 2 years. You were there for absolutely doing a job, and that job needed doing. And that, you know, usually you were doubling something, or you were going for a million, or you were halving the cost. There were really ambitious goals, which I think sets you up for a really stretching growth plan. And I think that's really similar to somewhere like Asda, and lots of other retailers actually, and Hobbycraft too. So the culture almost gives you this confidence to believe you can do more than you would maybe expect of yourself, but it surrounds itself with a support structure to enable you to do that.
Let's talk about today then. Let's jump right forward to today. So we're just at that moment where retail is obviously beginning to open back up, and you know, that's beginning to, I guess also offices are beginning to open back up, and people are now going back into a world that, well, when they left, it was very different. And I guess when we return, isn't going to be quite the same. And there's good and bad, isn't there? There's good bits that we've picked up along the way from working remotely, but there's also bits that are missing. How do you see that? What, I mean, what's your view? Is it now a case that we have to blend the best of both worlds?
Yeah, I think we do, because I think there are some absolute benefits from being able to work flexibly and more remotely, whether it's efficiency or whether it's, you know, being able to activate something when you're not in the office. Whenever something tips up that you have to help resolve, then I think that's helped immensely. But I do think face-to-face contact, you know, coaching somebody on the job, having a good chat, having a laugh, you know, there's a whole part of a culture which is more than just the effectiveness of how you work. And I do think that is more tricky when you're trying to do it online. I mean, everyone has done the Zoom thing and I think it's good, but I do think there's nothing like walking a store with somebody, meeting some customers in person, you know, having a coffee with a colleague. I do think that's as important.
I mean, I guess over the last 18 months, you've had to recruit people into your teams. And I guess if you have, those sorts of interviews have been done over Zoom. Are you now in that position where you're able to actually meet people in the real world? And how is that transition for them? Because I guess if you're coming in new to an organisation, actually trying to sort of put your spider senses out there and go, gosh, what have I joined, is quite difficult, isn't it? And ways of working are difficult, you know, Zoom after Zoom after Zoom, whereas at least in the old world, you could kind of bunk off and go and get a coffee or hide in the toilets for half an hour.
I think you're right. I mean, we have had some people join, and actually someone on my team. And I think what I have been very conscious of is I think now we can meet in person. You know, you can really demonstrate that any question isn't silly enough. You know, ring us up, come and have a chat. Because I think when you're on Zoom and you're sat there by yourself, you might be thinking, oh, I've already asked 10 questions this morning. Can I actually phone up somebody and ask another one? Whereas I think what you get by being in the office or you're being in a store is you can just have an ongoing chat about what you're meant to do. Make sure you're set up for success, really. So I definitely think it works. And I've seen already far more confidence coming out of the individual that we've just recruited.
Now, you were telling me just before we went on air, you were telling me about the customer who contacted me. Do you mind telling us that story?
Yeah, no problem. So I love meeting all our customers at Hobbycraft. And as I was saying to you before, I think what is brilliant about my job is there is so much data which can give you insight and opportunity. But I think for me, the richness comes when you fill in the gaps from customers and colleague feedback. So I'm always up for going out to stores and getting colleague and customer feedback. But obviously, that's been a bit more tricky with COVID. However, I got this amazing hand-embroidered brooch the other day from a customer with my name on it saying, she'd like to have a conversation with me over Zoom. And I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. So I emailed her straight away and said, yes, I'd love to have a chat. And she came back going, oh, I didn't think you'd respond. So anyway, we had the chat yesterday for about an hour and she was so inspiring. And as I was saying before, I don't think customers would have reached out in that way had it not been for the last 12 months. I think, you know, there might have been a letter, but there might not have been as much confidence in asking for support and in using technology. I mean, her particular question was her local crafting group is under threat because of the past year. And was there anything we could do to help? Now, I think there is. And I also think the best people to help advise me on what to do would be her, and her, you know, her friends really. So you know, that for me is a really good opportunity for us to listen even more and see what we can do to help.
And if you were starting out again now, knowing what you know about the world of work, what would be, you know, what would your advice be to young Catherine coming out of uni and going into Mars? Are there any decisions along the way that you'd do differently? Or actually, when you look back, are you just proud of the fact that you put yourself out there, that you took that chance? And I guess being part of Mars, where you're given that double the, you know, from 1 million to 2 million challenge, does start setting those expectations higher.
I don't think I'd change much, actually, because I think what's so tough when you leave university is you don't really know what you want to do. I chose somewhere that I knew I'd have flexibility to move around, and I wanted to work abroad, and I got both opportunities, and I would still, you know, offer that advice to anyone. And I think you should always be ambitious in what you believe you can achieve, and also ask for help along the way. So everything I was sort of given the opportunity to do, I took forward and tried to use with all the teams that I've worked with. And so, no, I, you know, would I do anything differently? I don't think so, because you can't really plan it. I just think try to be the best you can be rather than focus on a particular business or a role. And just always, always put yourself forward, always put your hand up, always take a chance, even if you don't believe you know how to do it, because most people don't, just some people go for it. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with going for it. You will get help along the way, and it'll be amazing when you look back as to what you actually have achieved.
And who are the people that you look back on that, and you mentioned Angela, are there just certain people that you look to almost that guide you still? I mean, I've got sort of voices in my head occasionally, you know, when I'm doing that self-limiting thing, somebody says, Dom, I'd love you to do this, and I think, how on earth can I do that? And I just see Gail Shiftill saying to me,
yes,
just say yes, Dom, you know. And then it's like, and I observed it once in a meeting with Gail, you know, I just left Asda, I was working alongside him in his office for a little while, and he introduced me on this conference call as the head of e-commerce for Gig. And I was looking at, I mean, I was literally scrunching my eyes up looking at him going, what are you talking about? But then one of my neighbours once said to me, who lives down the road, she used to teach event management at Leeds Beckett, she said, you just need to be one page ahead of the students. That's all you need to be. And those two bits of advice, I still sort of draw down on them when my first instinctive reaction is to say, no, you can't. I hear that voice and I go, maybe I can. And I give myself that permission. Do you have those sort of, not necessarily voices in your head, Catherine? I'm not asking you to go there.
I think you're absolutely right. And it is interesting, though, because, like, well, there's a couple of examples. One is Jonathan Sands, who heads up the agency Elmwood in Leeds, who we worked a lot with at Asda, and he's a good friend of mine. I always remember him telling me a story about his agency, because he did a buyout years and years ago, and he sort of reinvented themselves as the most award-winning agency, because he hadn't seen anybody else say that, and he believed that was true. And over time, he grew and developed even more awards. So it's similar to your point, you know, set out your point of difference and go for it. And I think that links to Asda, because, you know, Asda was never the biggest, but it was absolutely the best at lowering, you know, the cost of living for all our customers. So I think there's a definite thing in that. If I look back at different people, then I've got loads of examples. I mean, there are people like Rick Bendel, when I worked with in marketing, who was just so ambitious in his thinking that I used to just think, oh my God, that's just so not practical, but we'll have a go anyway. And usually we ended up with something that was miles better than what we imagined. So he was really ambitious in his thinking. You know, Dave Cheesewright, to get you to be much more concise, you know, the three key things. There's learnings from everybody in terms of the way you think and run things. And then I think just, you know, in every role I've had, I mean, in the early days in Mars, you know, Angela was there. Rebecca Rees was incredibly, you know, ambitious. She was the first person that said to me, and I do this a lot, when I remember I was going to double the snacks and treats market for Pedigree at the time, and I did my first ever sort of outline strategy. I remember her saying to me, go out for dinner with Stephen, my husband now, on us. It's a brilliant, brilliant plan. And it didn't cost them a huge amount, but it really stuck with me. And I try and do that now, because I actually think sometimes when people have put in above and beyond, it's not necessarily a day off. It's just a recognition you've spent some of your personal time doing something that is going to make a difference to the business. So I've got loads of examples, including peers, including, you know, a lot of people that we would have in common. You know, you learn off everybody, I think.
It's funny, because I still think, I used to have Nick Agarwal as my boss, and I remember I used to almost evangelize about the things that he taught me, and I'd quote things he'd said in meetings. And I remember Helen McTaggart, who worked for me at the time, just saying, Dom, what if you are to us what Nick was to you? And it was the first time in a while that really stretched my imagination to think, wow, isn't it? We're passing this on. You know, you're paying it forward to the next generation. I'm sure there's people that have worked for you over the years, Catherine, who will be quoting you and telling the anecdotes of the things you've done and the way you've treated them and behaved. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
I hope so. In fact, I've got one more for you. This will make you laugh. Proper Yorkshire. Years ago when I worked at Mars, and this was, you know, if you think you're coming through as a graduate trainee and you're sort of trying to be good, please everybody. There was a guy, Tony Lowe, who I used to work with, who was an amazing sales director from Rotherham, proper Yorkshireman, call a spade a spade. And I had a big meeting, you know, running a meeting, quite young 20s, all these people in it. And he kept looking at me, he was watching the meeting. And I said, Tony, can I help you? And he said, I'm waiting for you to get off the fence. And I never didn't make a decision after that, because I just thought, oh my God, I was waiting for someone else to make a decision. And I thought, nobody's making. So I always, always offer an opinion or a decision from that day onwards. But it does stick with you.
Brilliant. Love it. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for getting off the fence and agreeing to come on the podcast. It's been brilliant catching up with you. Absolute pleasure. Thanks again for being on Coach Class.
Thank you very much. Thoroughly enjoyed catching up.